We continue our study today in the book of Proverbs in the fear of the Lord. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for your love to us, and we thank you for the truth of your word. And now, Lord, open our hearts to your word. By your Spirit, teach us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4 is our text today, and this is the fourth point of the message on the fear of the Lord, and I'd like to focus on this truth, the fruit of the fear of the Lord, which is the delights of the fear of the Lord. Listen to this, Proverbs 22 and verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Two things that give to us riches and honor and life. Humility and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a subject of the book of Proverbs described from various angles. We looked at some of those last week. Its definition, its disregard. There are consequences to rejecting the fear of the Lord. Its demands. How do we get the fear of the Lord? We seek after wisdom and understanding. We cry out to know the fear of the Lord. I'd like to repeat the definitions from last week. What is the fear of the Lord? Think of this with me. The fear of the Lord is a consistent awareness that I must answer to the holy, sovereign, and just God of the Bible. It's an awareness that I must give account to the God of the Bible. The fear of the Lord is living in the conscious awareness of the presence of the God of the Bible and in faithful submission to His will. One walking in the fear of the Lord understands that the Lord is there, that the Lord is watching, that the Lord is listening, that there's no place that I can go where He is not there. There's no thought that I can think that He does not know. There's no word that I can say that He does not hear. There's no action that I can do that He is not fully aware of it. And I live my life, this is not a miserable thing, this is a wonderful thing, because God wants His children to be near to Him, to love Him, to serve Him. The fear of the Lord, in short, is living in the presence of God as prepared to give account to Him. The fear of the Lord is living in the presence of God as prepared to give account to Him. Now, I did something this week. I checked in some study Bibles and what they might say on Proverbs 1:7, what definition they might give. Let me share some of these. In Ryrie's study Bible, the fear of the Lord, a reverence for God expressed in submission to His will. That's very good. MacArthur Study Bible. The fear of the Lord is a state of mind in which one's own attitudes, will, feelings, deeds, and goals are exchanged for God's. Fascinating definition. In Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, longed for you, O God. The fear of the Lord is a state of mind in which one's attitudes, will, feelings, deeds, and goals are exchanged for God's. In the Jeremiah Study Bible, to fear the Lord is to have a sense of awe and utter respect for Him as the Holy One, so that when He speaks, it is the final word. Very good. And this from the Nelson Study Bible, the fear of the Lord is the most basic ingredient in wisdom. All wisdom depends on knowledge of God and submission to His will. All wisdom depends on knowledge of God and submission to His will. So last week we looked at the definition of the fear of the Lord. I'll just summarize these quickly. From the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 1:7, it's the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 8:13, to hate evil. Proverbs 9:10, it's the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 14:27, it's the fountain of life. Proverbs 15:23, instruction for wisdom.
Then we saw the disregard. Number two, the disregard of the fear of the Lord. What sad words. When wisdom personified in Proverbs chapter 1 says, then one day they're going to call and I'm not going to answer because they disregarded me. Proverbs 1:29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. We live in the midst of a culture today that is disregarding, willfully choosing not to fear the Lord, to not give account to Him, to not recognize that He is ever present and ever watching. So what should the Church of Jesus Christ do in a culture disregarding the fear of the Lord? We should be countercultural and fear the Lord and demonstrate that we're aware that God is here and we have to give account to Him. And so will every living human being. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, how many knees will bow? Every knee will bow. How many tongues will confess? Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day, everyone will fear the Lord. What a tragedy to choose not to fear the Lord today. And then the demands of the fear of the Lord, the demands to discern the fear of the Lord, Proverbs 2:5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord when you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. Well, now with that being said, I'd like to continue on with number four, the delights or the benefits or the fruit of the fear of the Lord. These could all be summarized in two broad categories. And turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. Interestingly, this category of the fear of the Lord in Proverbs is the major category. There's more said about the delights, the benefits, the fruit of the fear of the Lord, even than disregarding the fear of the Lord. Unless you look at all of the foolish statements in Proverbs, what fools do is opposite the fear of the Lord, which would be a good way to see that, then much is said about that as well. But much said about the delights of the fear of the Lord. Two broad categories, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The fear of the Lord prolongs life. What a category, a broad category. There is blessing to those who fear the Lord. That is true. Blessing to those who fear the Lord. Blessing to their children and to their grandchildren when they fear the Lord. It prolongs life. Look at Proverbs 13:13. Another broad category. Proverbs 13:13. This book of wisdom tells us this. He who despises the word will be destroyed. But he who fears the commandment, who gives the commandment? The Lord does. He who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Someone may say, but wait a minute. What about those fearers of the Lord who are in prison for their faith right now in other countries? Where is their reward? Amazing reward ahead. Not everything is paid in this life, you understand. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. And even if a believer seals his or her testimony with her or his blood, the rewards to the fear of the Lord are great, and they go for eternity. Two broad categories, prolongs life and gives reward. Now let's look at specific fruits, specific benefits of fearing the Lord. Is it worth it to live a life in relationship to the God of the Bible, having your sins forgiven through Jesus Christ, seeking to live a holy life for Him by the power of the Holy Spirit? Is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. And there are many benefits shown here. Proverbs 14 and verse 2. Proverbs 14, 2. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. But he who is perverse in his ways despises him. The one who walks in uprightness fears the Lord. There is a radical difference between one who fears the Lord and one who does not. I was blessed yesterday morning at our men's Iron Sharpens Iron time as some men were just sharing about their life. Oh, thank you. And how things changed when they came to know Christ. And they had new appetites. when they came to know Christ. I don't mean that it was steak versus hamburgers, not that kind of appetite. New appetite for Scripture and for being with the will of God and the people of God after they came to know Christ. Or could we say it like this? When they became one who fears the Lord, they walked in their uprightness. There was a radical difference. Notice what happens here if we despise the Lord or disregard Him. Proverbs 14:2b. But he who is perverse in his ways despises him. Perversity in the ways, crookedness in our ways to those who don't fear God, but to those who despise him. So here's this blessing when we fear the Lord, a lifestyle of uprightness, walking in uprightness. We are new in Christ and we live a new life. Does it mean we're sinless? No, it does not. But when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We find confession and cleansing, and we get up and we continue to walk the walk. Walking in uprightness. If I could graph this like this, imagine an arrow going up, and it may have some ebbs and flows like this, but the general bent is upward. That's our growth in Christ, walking uprightness. Will we fail at times? Yes. But we confess, we come back on track, and our burden, our passion, our seeking heart is after Christ, to be like Him, to become what He wants us to be, to know His Word. There's a hunger, there's a desire for the Word of God. That is one who fears the Lord. He walks in uprightness. Now look at Proverbs 14 and verse 16. Related to this. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man fears the Lord and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Turning away from evil is a delight, a benefit, a fruit of fearing the Lord. Proverbs 16, verse 6, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. So well illustrated in the life of Joseph, harassed day after day, in terms that we use today in the workplace, sexual harassment. He was harassed by Potiphar's wife. But he walked in the fear of the Lord. He said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? He left his coat and fled because he feared the Lord. We fear the Lord, we turn away from evil. And men and women, these are choices we have every single day. To turn away from evil. The devil places all kinds of carrots before us every single day. Will we bite into that sweet-looking carrot that is poisonous on the inside? Or will we say, no, I love the Lord. The Lord is here. He's with me. I died to sin. I don't have to do this thing. I am going to say no to sin. That's what the grace of God does in Titus. It says the grace of God has appeared, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We say no to sin. Jesus is coming back. That's living in the fear of the Lord when I live in light of the return of Christ. It is a good thing to ask ourselves about any questionable activity. Would I want to be doing this if Jesus were to come back right now? That's a good question to help us live in the fear of the Lord. Turning away from evil. Living in the conscious presence of God. Knowing that Jesus is coming back and could come at any time. And it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to sin. It's the grace of God that works in our life and gives us that passion to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let me ask you today, have you given up on turning away from evil? Just give in to it? But are you new in Christ? Have you trusted Christ The next time you're confronted with that sin, remember that Jesus is there and say no to it. If you're completely comfortable in your sin, perhaps it's because you've not come to know Jesus. We invite you today to come to know Him. He will forgive your sins. He'll give you eternal life. He'll set you on the right path. He will cause you to say no to sin. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's a third benefit. It's here in chapter 14 of Proverbs. Another fruit on this cluster of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 14:26. This shows how positive this is. This is not a negative thing. It's very positive. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. His children will have a place of refuge. Contrast this. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God comes. He walks with them. They have fellowship. They welcome Him. There's no barrier. They have fellowship together. They understand His creator. They understand His power. They understand His presence, but they are confident in Him. Sin comes, and there are Adam and Eve hiding, trying to make clothes out of fig leaves. Who made the fig leaves? God did. The one that used to be their friend. And now they're hiding from Him. Why now are they not glad to see the Lord? Why are they not confident in His presence? Because of their sin. You see, the fear of the Lord is a positive thing to those who know the Lord. He is our shield, our protector. We've been studying on Wednesday night Psalm 18. Just turn there for a minute. Notice how David exclaims here all these words about who God is to him. Look at Psalm 18. This is a man who has confidence in the fear of the Lord. He is not afraid of the Lord. He is enjoying the place of refuge that he has because of God's power. Look at Psalm 18, verse 1. We were singing and worshiping the Lord with this. I love you, Lord. Look what David said, Psalm 18, 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is greatly to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. David saw the Lord as his strength, his help, his shield. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. We possess strong confidence because of who is our Father. You know, it's funny when little kids get into little arguments on the playground and go something like this, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. My daddy will beat up your daddy. And they're showing confidence in their dads and their fathers. Well, you know what? We have confidence in the Heavenly Father. And indeed, He's going to beat up all the enemies, the devil himself one day. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. His children have a place of refuge, a blessed place in fellowship with Him, enjoying His protection and His blessing. Oh, we don't want to be removed from that fellowship, going our own way, sinning, doing our own thing, and then hiding from Him, and then truly being in fear as if God is going to do something to us because we have sinned and we're ashamed to see Him. How do you solve that problem? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess sin and come back into that strong confidence of fearing the Lord. Look at Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to avoid the snares of death. Here we enjoy the fountain of life. What a tremendous fruit of the fear of the Lord. Enjoying the fountain of life. Here's this fountain bubbling up, giving life. So this is not a negative thing. That's what the devil says. Oh, fear the Lord. That's a miserable life. No, it's a fountain of life. It's the life of enjoyment. It's the life of having God's blessing, God's strength, to be in relationship with God and to know that His presence is continually around us and we're going to give account to Him, but He loves us all the while. There is the fountain of life, and we rejoice in that. As that fountain bubbles up and we drink from it and we're refreshed from it. Notice it says here, avoiding the snares of death. Avoiding the snares of death. Here is someone who does not go where the party is, and their life is spared, and they find out that the party has ended in destruction. There used to be an old truck. I don't know how old it was, but it had been smashed, it had been burnt. When we moved to this area in Texas, at the end of this road, there was this trashed out pickup truck. And finally, it got hauled off. The properties were empty, but as people began to build houses there, finally this thing got removed. And we heard the story about it. That one night, a group of kids were drinking, and they got into a chase from the law. And so they jumped in this truck, and they ran down this road and found out it was a dead end and smashed into a big oak tree there. And I don't know what all happened from there except for the loss of this truck. What a symbol. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, avoiding the snares of death. When we make choices and say, no, I'm going to live in a way to honor God instead of a way to please the flesh, even if there's peer pressure, because I don't want to end up in shipwreck. I respect who God is, and I know that in Him is abundant life. Let me tell you something. There is no pleasure this world has to offer that matches the abundant life that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Imagine these tall and fast roller coasters. They're fun for a short time, but then it's empty. We want beyond fun to fulfillment. And where is that? It's in the fear of the Lord. It's in a relationship with God. It's knowing Christ. There is the fountain of life. How many thought they were chasing the fountain of life and ended up in the wrecked truck, ended up in the snares of death, and said, perhaps if they had mercy, oh God, save me now. Or perhaps it was too late. In the fear of the Lord, there is the fountain of life, avoiding the snares of death. Now look at Proverbs 15:16, it changes direction a little bit. Notice how it's described here. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. I think it's in Charles Spurgeon's Treasury of David on Psalm 23. There's this story of this poor couple, and they sit down to their meal, bread and water. And the man bows his head to pray. And he says, and besides all this, we have Jesus. What a perspective. With the fear of the Lord, there's contentment. There is treasure. It's better to just have a little bread and water and to have the fear of the Lord than to have a 5-6-course meal and all of the fine things that go with it and to not have Christ. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You know what? Most of us have more than one outfit to wear, don't we? We have to make choices. We go to our closet and we decide what we're going to wear, what we're going to throw out. And we have all this stuff, not like that many places of the world. Many places don't have all that we have. But you know what? If you have a suit of clothes for every day of the year, 365 days, men, imagine having that many suits and ties. You know what? You only wear one at a time. And you're not going to take a one with you. If you have millions and billions in riches, but you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Because that's only for time, not for eternity. So it's better to have a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. I at one time became acquainted with pre nuptial agreements. And I began to realize that folks that had a lot more money than I was used to had some interesting problems. Did he marry me for me, or did he marry me for my money? And so these agreements that seem like almost plant the seeds of the marriage splitting up are made, and you can discuss that another time, but here's the point. Lots of things many things do not give us happiness. In marriage, in family, parents, don't believe the lie that kids are happy the more things they have. I can prove that. Have you ever seen a little kid with a beautiful, expensive gift, and you look over and they're playing with the box? He said, no, look, I got you this. It cost a lot of money. And they said, but the box, they're playing with the box. Now, I'm not against the expensive gift, but he said, well, you're supposed to be happy with this. We spent a lot of money. What makes us happy is a right relationship with God. What makes us happy is knowing the Word of God and the treasures that are in the Word of God. It says here, you have the fear of the Lord, and even if you only have a little, that's better than having everything and misery, trouble with it. So sometimes having lots of things brings with it its own set of troubles. Being contented with little. Go with me to the New Testament quickly, to 1 Timothy. I want you to see this, remind ourselves of this. This special gift of contentment. Contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6. Notice this. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. I heard a story of a man that wanted to be buried in his Cadillac with his suit of clothes and his hat and his pipe in his mouth. And there were two boys, poor young men, who are watching this amazing ceremony of this car being lowered in the grave. And the one boy looked at the other and he said, man, that's living. There was a funeral procession going down the road of the wealthiest man in town, and two men were working and they watched it and they said, wow, wonder how much he left. And the other one said, he left it all. Exactly right. Notice this. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Even if you're buried in your Mercedes or Cadillac or whatever it is, you're not going to take it with you into eternity. He says here, and having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. Isn't that a great statement? That in Christ I can view all the things of life, the material things, in a different way. I'm not there to live for them. They may be a blessing to me, but my life is meaningful because it's in Christ. And my wealth, it does not make me happy, whether I have little wealth or much wealth. That's not where my source of contentment is. It's in Christ. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What a gift of contentment to be satisfied in Christ. Notice this, chapter 22 of Proverbs. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. Receiving three things. Wow, this is amazing. By humility and the fear of the Lord. And those go together, because when I fear the Lord, I have a humble attitude. I am looking at God as the one to whom I must give account. I'm seeing God for who He is. I'm bowing before Him to His Lordship. I'm confessing Jesus as Lord. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Here is the place of blessing. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Life begins at the cross of Jesus, and throughout the ages of eternity, we will experience riches and honor in life. Imagine this. Read Revelation, what it says about the New Jerusalem. Imagine streets paved with gold and the precious stones, the foundation of the city. Amazing. Who's going to be there? Those who fear the Lord. Those who come into right relationship with Christ, who've had their sins forgiven. It is worthwhile to follow Christ, to serve Him. Sometimes in this life, God blesses His people with riches. Sometimes He doesn't. But many times we have all that we need. He trusts some with riches. If God has blessed you with the ability to make money, make the money and use it for the glory of God. Understand that it came because you fear the Lord. Don't let it be your God. Don't let it interrupt the blessing that God has given to you. See beyond the gift to the giver. By the fear of the Lord are these things. Now, chapter 23, verses 17 and 18. 23, verses 17 and 18. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but in the fear of the Lord continue all day long. Verse 18. For surely there is a hereafter. There is a future. Surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. What do I have when I fear the Lord? I have enduring hope. You know what people need today? Hope. Hope is found in the person of Jesus Christ. God wants us to find our help and our hope and our sufficiency in Him and Him alone. We have been created as human beings with a vacuum inside. And that vacuum says God is needed to fill this. That vacuum is only for what Jesus can do in our lives. Nothing else will fill that vacuum. How can we have hope? By having that void filled with Christ, in Christ alone. Friends, if you're here today and you look at your life, do a spiritual inventory, and you say, I don't know Christ. I'm not saved. I appreciate so much the honesty. I appreciate so much the honesty of people just tell me right up front, look, I'm not saved. I don't even believe that stuff. I love that when they just are clear with that. You may say it about yourself today. I'm not saved. I don't know that I even believe all this. I want to tell you, though, you know you have a void. People try to fill it with all kinds of things. They put work there. They put pleasures there. They put drugs, booze, alcohol, you name it. They put all kinds of things there, and they're still empty. The great news is Jesus can fill it because He created us to know Him, to have relationship with Him. And here is hope. This is such a blessing to know that. Continue in the fear of the Lord, because there is a tomorrow. There is a hereafter. There is a future. To the child of God, the best is yet to come. The child of God, the best is yet to come. We have a future. We have a hope in Christ. It will not be produced by the government of any country. It is produced by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, enduring hope. That's how we can face adversity. That's how Saeed Abedini can be in a prison in Iran as an American citizen. He's there, moved from one prison to another, witnessing to guards, people being saved. There in prison, wife and children back here in the States. How could he endure that instead of just say, I don't believe that anymore? Because he has hope. He has a future. And that future, that hope, is in the fear of the Lord. It's knowing Christ. And quickly, let me hasten to Proverbs 24:1. Proverbs 24:21. My son, fear the Lord and the King. Do not associate with those given to change. What is that talking about? Given to change, that is, they want to overthrow the government. They want to overthrow the authority. Listen, we have strange forces moving in our land today. Subversive forces to attack positions of authority. You know what God's view of authority is? Fear God, we're told in the New Testament, and honor the king. You know what? God has given us law enforcement individuals. Brian Little's one of those. Thank you for your service. Fairfax County Sheriff. Law enforcement officials to keep law and order, to punish evildoers. Watch out for those who want to disregard and overthrow this. Be very careful. Can I bare my heart to you? You've heard the Black Lives Matter. Absolutely, they matter. My heart is grieved. 356,000 black babies aborted in the United States of America. Don't black lives matter then? Not when it's inconvenient for some. Life is not appreciated. Watch out for subversive forces. It says, fear God and the Lord and the king. My son, fear the Lord and the king. God has established realms of authority. Quickly, let me review these. God established the realm of government as authority. We are to show submission and respect, to pray for those in authority over us. We can show that on a daily basis by showing respect and appreciation to law enforcement officials that are all around us. Show appreciation to them. Are they perfect? No, not a one of them is, just like we aren't. We're not perfect citizens. We mess up sometimes. But we can show appreciation because there are men and women who put their lives on the line, whose husbands, whose wives never know if they're going to come home because they're willing to take a bullet so that we can be free. And we need to appreciate that. God established the realm of authority in government. Here's another realm. God established the realm of authority of the home. He said, children, obey your parents. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. And all of you, submit to Christ. That's a realm of authority. God established that. God established this realm of authority in the local church. God established that leaders be servant leaders and love the people and lead them, and the people show respect. That's God's establishment. And we see today anarchy in our culture and in Christianity. We see a movement of rebellion. This verse says, fear the Lord and the king, and don't associate with those given to change who want to overthrow those positions of authority that God has established. Look at the next verse. For their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring. Wow, powerful truths here. Having enduring hope, a benefit of the fear of the Lord is respecting authority. I challenged the young people recently with this. God blesses those who respect authority. Look at Daniel and the three Hebrew children. They showed respect in a pagan land. Ultimately, their allegiance was to the God of the Bible, but they respectfully disobeyed when they were called to make a choice between God and bowing to idolatry. They would not do that, but they did so respectfully and said, we're going to bow. We may burn, but we will not bow to your idol, king, because we serve the God of heaven. There is a way to deal with those who are telling us to do something wrong. We show respect. We look for creative alternatives. Daniel did that with the diet there. He was not given to overthrow what was going on in Babylon. Great example. Respecting authority. People are used of God when they can respect authority. There is blessing. Kids, if you're still at home under your father and mother's authority, it says this, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right. This is right. It's the right thing to do to obey them. Now listen to this. Ephesians chapter 6. That it may be well with you. You having problems? Check up on how you're doing and showing respect to mom or dad. It may not be going well with you because you're disobeying this. It says it'll go well with you when you show respect. Fear the Lord and fear the king. God is very clear on the authority issue. Now, one final thing. What's another fruit of the fear of the Lord? Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. in verse 30. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Proverbs 31, 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Ladies, let me tell you something. There's a certain kind of makeup that's really precious. I really urge you to get it. It will just make your life shine. It's free. It's the makeup of fearing the Lord. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. How much we spend as Americans on denying the aging process. And I'm not against any of that. In fact, next week I'm going to dye my hair. I'll be jet black when I come to church. Just teasing. There's nothing wrong with some of those things. I'm not suggesting that. But if all the emphasis is on the outside, we can have charm, we can have poise, we can know how to do this, that, walk, how to present ourselves. But when the fear of the Lord is there, there is a beautiful quality that makes a face shine, that makes a being beautiful. And there's nothing that can replace it. And it says, not the charming woman and the outwardly beautiful woman that's praised, but the woman that fears the Lord. So receiving praise is a fruit, a blessing, a benefit of the fear of the Lord. What delights here? The delights of the fear of the Lord. The broad categories, all of these could be summarized in this. The benefits of fearing the Lord, they prolong life and they give reward. But then these specific ones, a benefit, a fruit. Imagine this cluster of the fear of the Lord. Walking in uprightness, turning away from evil, possessing strong confidence, enjoying the fountain of life and avoiding the snares of death, being contented with little, receiving riches, honor in life, having enduring hope, respecting authority, and receiving praise. What fruits from this thing, the fear of the Lord? Now let me close with two thoughts. I would encourage you to think very strongly about this. What is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? To fear the Lord is to believe what the Bible says about our need, sinfulness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God's solution to our need, salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. To fear the Lord is to believe what the Bible says about my need, that I need a Savior. And God has provided a Savior. And to embrace the gospel message that says this: Christ died for our sins, He was buried and rose again. And I embrace the gospel, I believe it with all my heart. And I trust Christ alone to save me, to forgive me. That's the fear of the Lord. Let me ask you, do you have the fear of the Lord? Have you done that? And then secondly, for believers, if we live in the fear of the Lord, in the presence of God, we're to living for time. In time, but for eternity. We're here in time, but our life is focused beyond all that this world has. It's for eternity. Knowing that one day we will stand at the Bema seat of Christ, not to be judged for our sins, to be evaluated for our works. I cannot think of a more awesome moment. I close with these two verses. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known to your consciences. Paul says, I know one day we're going to come before the judgment seat of Christ. To live in light of that moment is to live in the fear of the Lord. Will you bow your heads with me, please? Will you do an honest inventory? Are you here today? You've not trusted Christ as Savior? Why not this very day? Will you call upon the name of the Lord and be saved? Will you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you acknowledge your sin to the Lord and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe that you love me and Jesus died for me? Will you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved? I wonder if there's one who would say, I see my need of Christ. I need Jesus in my life. And right now I'm asking him to save me and to give me eternal life. Would you just raise your hand? I'll not embarrass you. I'll pray for you. I want you to know I'd be glad to talk to you during lunchtime or after that at an appointed time. You say, how I want to be saved, or I'm asking the Lord to save me today. Just slip up your hands. I'll be glad to see you afterwards. You speak to me. See, please, I want to know how I can be saved, how I can have eternal life. As a believer, are we walking in the fear of the Lord, living for time or living for eternity? Living with our hope in Christ or trying to make it our own way? Is there a believer who would say, I realize I've not been living in the fear of the Lord. I've been living for time and not for eternity. Pray for me. Would you slip up your hands? Our Father, stir our hearts for eternal matters. Stir our hearts for that which you have established as eternal. Stir our hearts to live in light of your presence and for you and for your honor and glory continually. Oh God, we praise you for your goodness, for your mercy. We praise you for all you've done for us. And Lord, if there's anyone here who's not yet trusted Christ, before this day is over, I pray they will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And Lord, as believers, every believer, will you stir our hearts, Lord, to seek after you? Will you stir our hearts to seek for that which is eternal? Will you stir our hearts to hope in Christ alone? We thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen.